Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment. And it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out alabamathebeautifulmagazine.com.
With 6 convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their 6 convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes. Boutique Air Service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Book your flight through BoutiqueAir.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
With over 25 years in the business, James Paul Tree Service offers their knowledge and experience, along with honesty and dependability, which gives you peace of mind when it comes to tree removal, tree cleanup, and clearing. Give James Paul a call at 256-777-0711.
Before they fall, give James Paul a call.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi folks, this is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I'm glad that you can be with us today, and this is going to be a two-part series. And we're going to focus on the subject of epilepsy. To start the series, I have Sarah Franklin with me, and she is the executive director with Epilepsy Foundation of America, and she covers the east side of the country. And we appreciate Sarah and those who are focused on epilepsy and how to help, bringing awareness and then also advocacy when it comes to those who are living with epilepsy. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Sarah Franklin.
Thank you, Mark, for having me. It's so good to be on the show. I've listened for a while, and I'm honored to be a guest tonight.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to have you. And earlier today, when I was out in the field, I work doing well drilling now during the day. I was thinking about my own niece. Her name's Brianna, and she just texted me before we started this phone call, and she has lived with epilepsy her whole life. As a matter of fact, when she was about my daughter's age, about 8 years old, we arranged for her to have surgery at Children's of Alabama to try to help some of the epileptic seizures she was having. Unfortunately, she did not receive a lot of relief after the surgery, and so she's 22 now, and it looks like probably another surgery is on the way.
Well, we are very blessed here in Alabama. We have what's called Level 4 Epilepsy Centers right here in Birmingham at Children's of Alabama and UAB, meaning they do have the capability to do a lot of those surgeries and even testing to figure out what surgeries could help relieve seizures. So I'm glad they're not giving up, because sometimes it does take a few surgeries to see results.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think about through The Mark White Show, and if you've listened for a while, I have touched on the subject of epilepsy, because quite a few people who have other issues also have epilepsy. They have seizures. And I had the Danny Did Foundation on The Mark White Show not too long ago, and Talked to the folks there at Danny Did. And then, of course, between us, we have Elena Burt, who is an incredible ambassador for Epilepsy Foundation of Alabama.
Absolutely, yes. Elena has done such great work. I'm so impressed that in high school she's been able to spread such awareness in honor of her cousin, Charlie May. And then the Danny Did Foundation is an absolutely incredible partner for Epilepsy Foundation of America, helping people purchase seizure alert devices to help prevent SUDEP, which I know you went over on that show, but sudden unexpected death and epilepsy, which they lost Danny to years ago. And so they are an incredible partner, and I know I'll even get to interact with them in a few months for the first time in person in a while. So really excited about that.
Excellent. And a common thread between Danny Did Foundation and Elena Burt and even myself is that we all have someone we love and care about who lives with epilepsy, and it becomes a passion for some of us. And I hope that today's show, Sarah, will encourage people who are listening to pick up that torch and become someone who wants to make a difference when it comes to this community as well.
I agree 100%. You know, I didn't know until a few years ago how common seizures truly are. 1 in 10 people will have a seizure at some point in their life, which is just astronomical. And then 1 in 26 will develop epilepsy, which just means recurring seizures. So what I've really found since even I started having seizures myself at age 30, and I've never had them before. And I've since learned all those statistics. So I kind of thought as seizures as my sweet friend from kindergarten that was in a wheelchair that had a seizure. And I never really heard a lot about them growing up. But now that I'm open about my own epilepsy diagnosis, people come to me all the time of either that their family member has seizures, that they have seizures themselves, but there's a big stigma around the word epilepsy, and we're working to debunk that at the Epilepsy Foundation of America. And another thing that, you know, I'm sure you've seen this, Mark, with your family and friends, is just most seizures are not convulsive. So, of course, we all think about the tonic-clonic, or what a lot of people have called grand mal seizures. Those are actually not the most common type, even though that's what you immediately think of. And so we're working to spread awareness about what seizures look like, and how to help people when they do have a seizure, and really to spread awareness, because oftentimes even seizures go undiagnosed or misdiagnosed. And so in Alabama, across the nation, that's what we're working to do, is really create a seizure-safe nation so that people know what seizures are and how to help.
So at 30 years old, Sarah, how did you get your diagnosis?
Yeah, so it certainly came out of nowhere. I was 30. I had a six-month-old baby. And as all new moms know, you know, you're a little bit sleep deprived those first few months, the first year of a baby's life. And so I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and there were firemen all in my bedroom. And my husband was standing up over me, and he said, "Sarah, you've had a seizure. We're about to get you in an ambulance and take you to the hospital." So very unusual. And I had no idea, no recollection of what had happened, but I did have a tonic-clonic seizure, which is the convulsing kind. So my husband had woke up to me convulsing in the bed and called 911. So I was brought to the emergency room. And whenever that happens to someone, it is pretty life-changing. You know, you don't realize, you just think, okay, hopefully this happened, but then I can go back to normal. But the nurse that night was giving me the discharge papers and said, "Okay, Sarah, it's against state law to drive for 6 months. And you need to follow up with a neurologist." So at that point in time, I was thinking, oh, wow, this is not ideal. My husband travels a lot for work. Thankfully, I have family in town that can help me get around, help me get my baby to childcare and that kind of thing when I had work meetings. But the logistics of that just always proved to be a lot more difficult than people can really handle, because just in most states, you know, we don't have mass transportation that can get you from point A to point B very easily all day, every day. And so, unfortunately, I had additional seizures. They were not the convulsive type, but my husband and my parents and my sisters would notice that I would blank out and start clacking my lips and laughing. And so not be responsive for anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute. So what I was having, I now know the correct term, what they're called, focal impaired awareness seizures. And so I would explain those symptoms, what my family would tell me that they saw me happening, and to my neurologist, who was able to say, yes, that does sound like seizures. And thankfully, after seeing one of my favorite people now in the world, Dr. Jennifer DeWolf from UAB, she was able to find a combination of medicines that has been able to keep my seizures under control, and I haven't had a seizure since. I did have seizures from August 2018 to April 2019. So 2019 was actually my last seizure. So I'm about 2.5 years seizure free. So every seizure backs up your driving for 6 months. And so I was not able to drive for about 1.5 years. And so that I had to step away from my last job. I worked in the PR field at a small PR firm here in Birmingham, but just the logistics of getting around proved hard to get to work. And so that's a very common theme for adults that have onset of epilepsy or that are dealing with epilepsy for a while. It is difficult to obtain employment because you rely on others to get you around if you don't have seizure control. And so the way I was able to get to the Epilepsy Foundation is one of my mentors I was telling him that I was having seizures, and he was like, Sarah, I had no idea. My mom had seizures my whole life, and I'm actually board chair of Epilepsy Foundation Alabama. And so he encouraged me to apply for the executive director opening, and this was right before COVID. So it's been a blessing to work for the Epilepsy Foundation, and I've learned so much that I didn't even know a few months into my own epilepsy diagnosis about seizures. And my passion is just walking alongside others going through the journeys and making sure they have the resources that they need.
With anything new like this, Sarah, and you've mentioned, of course, you were 30 years old, there is a learning curve. And I was talking to my niece the other day about work and potentially working for someone, having a job, but she's in that window right now where she's had seizures recently. And of course, you can't drive for a period of time. And it's one of those things where she has to go for a longer period of time to be able to even work. But my message there is for people who live with epilepsy, who live with seizures, is to not give up and find the resources that are there to help. And I believe that the Epilepsy Foundation of America have some resources to try to help people who live with epilepsy.
Absolutely. So one of my favorite things that the Epilepsy Foundation has launched since I've been with the foundation is an epilepsy learning portal. And so if I could have had this when I had my own diagnosis, it would have helped me greatly. And so there are a number of courses that people can take about employment resources for people with epilepsy, questions to ask your employer, navigating the job and the career field for people with epilepsy. So again, that's at learn.epilepsy.com. But I think just, you know, a course is great. Online resources are great. But another piece of it is to not give up looking for seizure control, because ultimately having seizure control is really key to, being able to drive, being able to get employment if desired, and that kind of thing. And so there are so many new treatments that are either really new on the market, newly FDA approved, or some that are just on the cusp of coming out. So my encouragement is to not just settle if you are still having seizures and you're adhering to taking the medications on time, but you're still having seizure breakthroughs. Don't give up asking the doctor, are there other things that I can try? What new medicines are on the market that might be a good fit? Can we do other tests to see what this brain activity is when I am having seizures? And then also, this is discussed in our seizure first aid trainings, but make sure that your caregivers, people of those around you, your family members, your friends, if they see something and they think this might be a seizure, it might feel crazy, but it's always good to just whip out that smartphone and get a video of what's happening, because oftentimes the person that's having a seizure doesn't remember it. And it's great to show a video of the seizure to doctors, because then you can't always go to your doctor appointment, have a seizure, they see what it looks like, and then they're able to determine, okay, this medicine works for this seizure type. So it's really helpful if they can see the seizure, because there are so many different types of seizures, to know, okay, these are what the person is experiencing during the seizure, and this medicine is the one that often works best for this kind. Or if a medicine, you know, if we've tried a number of different medicines, like your family member, you know, brain surgery is an option. There are things, implants that can be put in the person's vagus nerve. And they're just like we talked about, whether it's a device or surgery or a medicine, there are always new things coming out, and we just don't want people to give up looking for seizure control. And, you know, oftentimes too, this is something that I didn't know the difference of before I started at the Epilepsy Foundation, but your first step when you have a seizure or a seizure diagnosis for epilepsy, you see a general neurologist. But if you've tried two or more medicines and you are still experiencing seizures, what we recommend is for you to see an epileptologist, which is a general neurologist that specializes in epilepsy. They've gone to even further schooling for just seizures. And so I didn't realize there was even a difference, but those doctors are at UAB, at Children's, and then even in Mobile, there are a few epileptologists at USA Health. And so no matter what state people are in, I would encourage people to look at where is the highest level epilepsy center in my state and how can I see the specialty doctor if the first or second medicine has not worked? Because that is just something that when I explain to people, I didn't know this when I had my epilepsy diagnosis, but it is ultimately an epileptologist that I saw that was able to get my seizures under control.
You've mentioned it a couple of times during our conversation. We've talked about seizure first aid and the incredible Elena Burt, who is Miss Leeds' outstanding teen. That is something that she has picked up with Charlie's Chance because of her cousin, as you mentioned, Charlie May. And when we talk about seizure first aid and we talk about recognizing what is a seizure, you talked about your own seizures that in the process, it looked like you were laughing. I had a friend who had a shoe shop across from my old restaurant in Athens, and he had seizures like that. It looked like Mike was laughing, and in fact, he was having seizures. But to know the signs and then understand the different types to be able to render the aid, let's talk a little bit about this seizure first aid plan for the state of Alabama and the legislation that has come with it to be able to expand Charlie's Chance across the state and in schools.
Absolutely. So seizure first aid education is our top priority at the Epilepsy Foundation. I'd say that's what is first and foremost at the top of everything that we do. And so there's really two pieces to answer your question. So we have, I mentioned this site earlier, but learn.epilepsy.com. There's it's like a course catalog on that website of all different types of training. And so the first one that I want to make sure people know about that are listening to the show is we have a seizure first aid recognition and certification class. It is free. All of the courses on that site are free and provided for anyone by the Epilepsy Foundation. But what you learn in about an hour and 15 minutes, if you can do the course at any time of day, it's on demand, is you learn how to recognize a seizure, what to do when people have a seizure, when to call for emergency help, and what to do if someone that you know or yourself doesn't have seizure control. And that would be, like we talked about earlier, seeking the epileptology support. So that's we have that for the general public, anyone in America. So we have companies like Microsoft out of Washington. All of their employees have been seizure first aid certified. So people are very familiar with, oftentimes people become CPR certified. So that's very widely known. And Epilepsy Foundation, we've been doing seizure first aid education for decades. But as of 2020, we launched a certification that comes with it. So you can become CPR certified. Everyone knows what that means. Seizure first aid is different than CPR. And you can also become certified in seizure first aid. So I would encourage anyone that has a loved one with epilepsy to become seizure first aid certified. Now, when we go and we talk about schools, this is what Elena has helped greatly with. She's helped greatly with so many of the different programs. But 12 states have passed seizure safe schools legislation, and I'm so proud that Alabama was one of the first to do so. And so we worked with Representative David Wheeler out of Vestavia, Representative Thomas Jackson from South Alabama, and State Senator Billy Beasley, along with so many other champions that helped across the state to have the bill introduced. And we worked alongside the State Department of Ed, the Medical Association, and tons of groups. So I could just name them time after time, the Alabama Department of Mental Health and more, to make sure that the bill was exactly what Alabama State Department of Ed needed. But what it does is it brings to light the importance of school personnel knowing seizure first aid. And it also allows for a school personnel member to give a life-saving medicine to a student that may be having a seizure when the school nurse isn't there, because not every school has a school nurse. And sometimes the school nurse, even if there is one, they can't always be on every bus ride, every practice field, every inch of every hallway. And a seizure can be life-threatening in just a matter of minutes. And so we have a training at the Epilepsy Foundation on learn.epilepsy.com that a school personnel member can take. And if signed off by the parent and the local school board, they are allowed to give the life-saving medicine. And we sure hope that people don't often have to use the medicine. They can be delivered via nasal spray, but we do want life-saving protocols to be in place in the case of emergency, because oftentimes even rural EMS in Alabama, it would take maybe 15 minutes to get there. And that means that the student would need to be airlifted to Children's when, if the nasal spray is administered, when the seizure reaches a certain number of minutes, that can be eliminated and the student's brain can be saved from a lot of damage. And so we're so proud of Alabama, our legislators, thankful to them for making sure the bill was passed. Governor Ivey signed it last summer. And so now I'm working with the State Department of Ed on guideline implementation writing, and the bill, the guidelines will go into effect this fall, so the coming school year.
Excellent. And thinking about students, on March the 12th in Winfield, Alabama, we have the Rebel Jam, which is a fundraiser, and this is the third annual Rebel Jam, and it's for Raiden Wright, who is a seven-year-old and goes to Brilliant Elementary School, and he has severe cerebral palsy and epilepsy. And, of course, Elena is going to be able to join me at that event to be able to share about Charlie's Chance. I thought it was the perfect place to be able to do this, to bring awareness to epilepsy and to bring awareness to when it comes to the first aid for schools. And I think it's going to be an incredible event. And we want to recognize, of course, these younger children and then the older kids in school that have epilepsy, to be able to offer something to them to say, look, we're working for you. We're trying to help. You're not alone. And there are people out there who are wanting to make a difference. And you may have some words of wisdom or some words of hope for those young people as they go through life with epilepsy.
Absolutely. I think that's amazing about the event in Winfield. And like you said earlier on the call, you know, whether it's cerebral palsy, autism, or so many other disorders, you know, epilepsy, it can occur in sweet Charlie May, who is nonverbal and in a wheelchair, or it can occur in, like, one of our board members was the CFO of the Birmingham Business Alliance. So, you know, it varies in spectrum and it can affect so many people, where it's very debilitating. Or you may never even know that the person has epilepsy and their seizures are under control or well controlled. And so my advice is just to, oftentimes people with epilepsy, they feel isolated, they feel alone, they feel like they're the only one that has seizures. I know I certainly felt that way when it happened to me. But the reality is that 1 in 26 people will develop epilepsy. So for decades, people haven't necessarily been open about the fact that this was happening to them. But I hope that people are courageous to share and really encourage each other, rally around each other, and not give up looking for a way to either reduce the number of seizures or to look for seizure control. And along that journey is just to learn seizure first aid and what to do if someone has a seizure, because that can really help people feel empowered and like they know how to help and what to do in an emergency situation. And so just be sure to rally around people that encourage you, that lift you up, and that you can know you're not alone. And just if you're in Alabama or in any other state, reach out to your local epilepsy foundation and look for events like, you know, I know you're talking about the event in Winfield. It doesn't have to be an epilepsy foundation event, but just events around you where you can be encouraged and really know you're not alone, especially as it's getting safer, we hope, to get out and about and gather. So I know we have some events coming up across America, whether it's Walks End Epilepsy or even Southeast Epilepsy Foundation Conference at the Gaylord Opryland in Nashville in May. So there's always ways to get involved, either virtually or in person.
And off the top of my head, I know charlieschance.org, because sweet Miss Elena has organized that, and people can go to charlieschance.org and read more about Elena Burt and what she's doing as Miss Leeds Outstanding Teen. And then, Sarah, you might want to share other ways that people can connect with the Epilepsy Foundation.
Absolutely. Epilepsy.com is the number one visited site in the world about epilepsy. It's a wonderful library of information, and it also has details about how to get connected locally. And then also learn.epilepsy.com is where people can find those educational courses and learn seizure first aid, learn about employment resources for people with epilepsy, and all kinds of different resources. So those would be my main two takeaways as far as websites for more information.
Yes, and social media on Twitter at EpilepsyFDN, and then Facebook, mm-hmm. Epilepsy Foundation of America. If you're in Alabama, Epilepsy Foundation of Alabama, and I know there are other chapters that people can look up and see if there's a chapter in their area. And then on Instagram at EpilepsyFDN as well. And Sarah Franklin, it's always a joy to have you here on the Mark White Show. You're always welcome, and I appreciate the fact that you were able to take time with me and talk about epilepsy and epilepsy awareness today.
Absolutely, Mark. Thank you for inviting me on, and we will certainly stay in touch.
All right, folks, we appreciate Sarah Franklin. She's the regional director of Epilepsy Foundation of America. We appreciate her joining us here on the Mark White Show today. When we come back, we're going to have Marvin Leathers, who is actually organizing and doing the PR for the Rebel Jam that we talked about for Raiden Wright, the third annual Rebel Jam. I hope you'll stick with us, and we'll have that conversation with Mr. Marvin Leathers coming up. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
With over 25 years in the business, James Paul Tree Service offers their knowledge and experience, along with honesty and dependability, which gives you peace of mind when it comes to tree removal, tree cleanup, and clearing. Give James Paul a call at 256-777-0711.
Before they fall, give James Paul a call.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
A little white house in the heart of town.
Hi, everybody. This is Doug Stone. And let me tell you something. Love grows best in little houses, especially when you got the Mark White Show on.
Love grows best in houses just like. Drives into the city, works extra hard all day, finishes up early so he can get away. Cause there's a blue-eyed kid on second base, wants dad to watch him play. Daddy knows.
And we're back. Of course, you're listening to the Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White. The subject today is epilepsy. This is part one of a two-part series as we focus and highlight the subject of epilepsy. And we have a big event coming up. It's the third annual Rebel Jam taking place in Winfield, Alabama on March the 12th for Mr. Raiden Wright. It's a fundraiser for him this year. We've done a fundraiser for Celia Grace. Last year was the second annual Rebel Jam. And right now I have on the line with me Mr. Marvin Leathers, who is representing the Rebel Jam today here on the Mark White Show. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Marvin.
Oh, thank you so much, Mark, for having us talk about Rebel Jam.
Absolutely, buddy. Here we have Raiden. He's a 7-year-old, goes to Brilliant Elementary School, and he has severe cerebral palsy as well as epilepsy.
He does. Yes. Would you like me to talk a little bit about Raiden and his condition?
Sure.
Yeah, so Raiden was, I'll be brief because I know you're going to interview his mother, Miranda Holsey, and she can tell you way more details than I can. But the big picture is this. Raiden was born extreme preterm at 23 weeks, and he had two diagnoses. He had severe cerebral palsy and epilepsy. And as your listeners know, cerebral palsy is a developmental brain disorder that leads to problems with muscle control and movement. As a result of that, Raiden's wheelchair bound, and he uses a feeding tube. And the epilepsy is something he struggles with on a daily basis.
So, Marvin, how did you all come to the conclusion that this year for the third annual Rebel Jam, it needed to benefit this family?
Yeah, well, we have a committee. Rebel Jam's grown, and so this year we have a committee, and we sat around, and Cheryl Gainey of the area, she said, well, what about Raiden Wright? And Cheryl pitched Raiden's story to us, and this is exactly the kind of person that we designed Rebel Jam to benefit. And so when she told us about Raiden's conditions and about him requiring 24-hour care from his mother with frequent trips to Birmingham, to doctors, and various medical equipment at home that he has, and some of which he still needs and that we're trying to raise money for, we thought, yeah, Raiden, absolutely, he's the beneficiary this year.
I've actually been following Miranda for a while. We're friends on Facebook. And with Raiden being 7 years old, it's very important that he knows that he has people around him supporting him. And I know Miranda takes great care of Raiden, and that's always a big plus when you have that type of support with his condition. But to see the people who are supporting this effort, Marvin, to see all the different things that have come together to put the third annual Rebel Jam together is really incredible, because there is a lot going on March the 12th in Winfield, Alabama.
Yeah, we do have a lot going on. All donations made that day or donations made in advance that are earmarked for Raiden go to Raiden. We have first of all, we're a music festival benefiting Raiden. So you will hear four fantastic bands, live music from 1:30 to 9, Saturday, March 12th in Winfield at the Citizens Bank. So grab a lawn chair, grab your family, grab some money for donation. And it's free attendance. The donations are encouraged. And come listen to some music. While your kids are there, they can play in the kids' corner. We have bouncy houses and various crafts for the kids to be engaged in, activities. There's also a large bake sale, cake sale, baked goods auction. Over 60 cakes so far are involved. That's going to bring in a lot of funds for Raiden. Ham Bones Barbecue of Winfield will be selling barbecue sandwiches. There'll be soft drinks, and there'll be T-shirts. There's a car show that will be set up at the historic R.W. Harris store in downtown Winfield. There will be local businesses open after hours on that Saturday, so people can peruse through the local shops and support their local businesses. It's going to be a fantastic time, and if we have good weather like we have today, it's going to be a perfect day, all benefiting Raiden.
That is absolutely outstanding, and as you know, in the first segment, I was talking to Sarah Franklin with Epilepsy Foundation of America, also Epilepsy Foundation of Alabama, and I have Miss Leeds Outstanding Teen, Elena Burt, is going to be joining me there at the event on March the 12th. As she has Charlie's Chance. Charlie's Chance is working to provide awareness to first aid for epilepsy, especially when it comes to schools, and I think it's a perfect fit. And I didn't realize, Marvin, when you emailed me and then having Elena on the show, and I thought, what a perfect combination to use this time to bring even more awareness to what they're trying to do when it comes to first aid for those who live with epilepsy.
Yeah, I think that what she's doing is fantastic with Charlie's Chance, and that this is a fortuitous circumstance to raise awareness about epilepsy with her organization, Learn How to Train in schools to support kids who have epilepsy. And if they want, come out March 12th to hear some good music and have some good, clean fun, all benefiting the child, Raiden Wright, who has epilepsy.
Now, for those who maybe can't attend this year, Marvin, for whatever reason, maybe somebody's listening too far away and they're not going to be able to make it, is there a way that they can donate outside of the event?
There is. So please contact us on Facebook at Rebel Jam, and we will get you the information so that you can donate to Raiden on behalf of whatever organization or personal funds you want to do. So contact us at Facebook, Rebel Jam.
All right. So great music at the third annual Rebel Jam bake sale and cake auction, along with a kids' corner Saturday, March the 12th. And they can bring their lawn chair and have some entertainment there at Citizens Bank in Winfield, Alabama. And Marvin, I'm glad that you can join us. And as you mentioned, Miranda Halsey will be joining us in part two of this series, which I'll air tomorrow, as Elena Burt joins me to talk about Charlie's Chance. We're going to talk about being at this event on March the 12th. And then we're going to let Miranda close out tomorrow night's show as she talks about her son, Raiden Wright.
That's what you're doing, Mark. I just want to say thank you so much. You do so much good. And it's a pleasure being on your show and being able to talk about this and to talk about Raiden.
Absolutely. And thank you, Marvin, for being a part of this effort with the great team that has come together to put on the third annual Rebel Jam in Winfield, Alabama on March the 12th.
Yes, sir.
Folks, here on the Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers and sharing their stories to encourage and inspire. If you are encouraged by this show, I hope that you'll share it with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Let them know about the Mark White Show and what we're doing to make a difference across the country and the world. I want you to follow the Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and then go over and subscribe to the Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcast. You have been listening to another edition of the Mark White Show, and this is Mark White, encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
To live and love in my hometown. Ah, these are my kind of people.
Boutique Air Service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Book your flight through boutiqueair.com. Boutique Air,
where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. And one smile can make a difference. Na 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 na. Someone loves you, I do.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month. Where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
Oh, won't you hear me, people, when I say, well, let's all do something good today.
take.